everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. And later in the show, we're going to be catching up with Matt Carruthers, football writer from the northeast of England, as we'll be previewing all of this weekend's matches in the Northern Premier League Premier Division. And shortly, we're going to be joined by James Hayes as we look back at all of last week's results across all four divisions. But before that, there's only one place we could start this week's show, and that's to offer our big congratulations to Radcliffe, 2-1 winners at Whitby Town last weekend, and as a result, sealing the Northern Premier League Premier Division title and promotion to the National League North. And on Friday morning, I caught up with one of the joint managers at Radcliffe. It's a big welcome back to the show to Anthony Johnson. Well, Jono, a big thank you for joining us, and a big, big congratulations to yourself and Bernard and everyone at the club. Fantastic achievement, promoted to the National League North. How was your afternoon at Whitby with that victory? Those 3 points there, just another win on the board.
Whitby's always a good day out, isn't it? Without the football, you know, the fish and chips, and if you get half decent weather, it's always a nice day. But it was fantastic. It was everything I hoped it would be, you know, sort of in the build-up if we got the right result. The following, listen, when you think about who we are, Radcliffe Football Club, a club that you're all aware of and have been part of the NPL for a long, long time, when you see hundreds and hundreds of supporters travel across country, you know, two and a half, three hours away, it shows you exactly what started to be built over the last few years at the football club, that the community have bought into it. So to see that many people there, that many people enjoying the moment, and I think it's the first time that I've sort of stood back at the end of a game after all these years and watched other people enjoy the moment, it was incredible.
And going back to that vibe at the club, because like you say, I mean, it has been noticeable, it's been building year on year over recent years. And you and Bernard approaching your year anniversary at the club. And we've got to remember, you know, last season, just missing out on the playoffs, but Bobby Grant getting silverware for the club with the Manchester Cup as well. So it has been building, hasn't it?
Yeah, we talked about the Manchester Cup in day one of pre-season. We said to the lads, look, you've got momentum here. 50% of this squad are winners. All right, you didn't get to where you wanted to get to in terms of the league. You just missed out. But you've won a cup, and it's always tough to win anything in football. Added to the fact that they won promotion from NPL1 probably 4 years ago, there is that little bit of momentum where they're getting used to winning things and being amongst it. So we knew we had that. We knew with the added experience that we brought in terms of staff and players that we could progress a little bit more. Whether the expectation of doing it the way we've done it and how we've done it, and I do not mean this disrespectfully, but in some cases, how easy we've done it, probably not. But we had that momentum behind us as a football club, so it has been incremental, and that includes the increase of attendances, as we just spoke about. You know, I think when Marcus and Paul took over the football club back in 2017, there wasn't three figures on, so you got to tell you that. So to be averaging, you know, the best part of 1,300 this season, it's mind-blowing, mate. You know, it's something that we talked about last year. It's something that we wanted to build over the coming years because of sort of the geography, the location, or where we're from. But to do it in year one, it blows my mind.
Yeah, and like you say, I mean, no disrespect, you know, I mean, this has been coming a long way down the track because Radcliffe have just been marauding all the way through this. But to do it with points in the bag and, you know, to score over 100 goals to achieve it in a league where you've got Macclesfield, you've got Warrington Rylands, you've got Marine, you've got Hyde, you've got Ashton, you've got those teams who were in the lower half, who were in the playoffs last year. It's been that tough this year. It is a remarkable achievement.
Well, at the moment we won the league, we were 15 points clear. All right, Mac have got games now, and we understand that, and they could end up finishing just behind us depending on how the season finishes. But at the moment we won the league, we were 15 points clear. And to do that at this level of football, I don't care what anybody tells me, I've always said the same thing, one of the hardest leagues in the whole of the English pyramid to get out of, with the teams you've just named. You know, there's football clubs with history of leagues well beyond this. You know, there's football clubs with massive history in the FA Cups. There's football clubs with massive history in this league. And as you just quite rightly said there, even the clubs that missed out on the playoffs last season or sort of were on the periphery of it in this league who've tailed off a little bit. This league is a hell of a tough one. With some top managers. You know, I always tell this story when I started managing with Burn 15 years ago, that Neil Young, after a couple of years, was one of the managers that we looked at and targeted to want to get beyond. You know, he was someone that allowed us to have ambitions of where we want to get to. You know, there's plenty of managers like that we looked at as young managers and thought, yeah, we want to catch you. So to play the likes of Neil Young, a top manager, Michael Clegg, a top young manager, Nicky Spooner, these men have been around the game a long, long time. So to go up against them and finish as well as we have done in this league, the respect that we've shown the league by doing it the way we've done it, scoring the 100 goals, having that many players score a certain amount of goals is probably beyond sort of the dreams of what was set out at the beginning. But in terms of our ambitions and where we wanted to get to, there was massive belief amongst the group.
And it's not just the league, is it? I mean, predominantly our interviews this season have been surrounding the FA Trophy and, you know, getting all the way to the, you know, to take on Barnet and that kind of thing. So it has been a remarkable season, really, and a lot to juggle.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, you know, when we was having our FA Trophy run, which was the club's best ever, I was a little hesitant, if I'm honest, because I always believe that if you tend to have a good cup run, it can hinder sort of your league form at the back end of the season. We've gone against the grain there. To be fair, so are Mac. They're running in the trophy. What they've done was incredible, and they're still right amongst it, looking at finishing second. So two clubs there look like they've gone against the grain. So to do it on two fronts has been remarkable. And listen, this is not trying to downplay anything that we've done, but we signed a single player during the season that has played over five games for us, and that's Willem Tomlinson, who came in as a direct replacement for Luke Joyce, who retired. So we've done it without no loans. We've done it with the same sort of 18, 19, 20 men that we started in pre-season. And I think that's played a massive part in what we've done. You know, that consistency level, not chasing players that probably won't fit what we were doing, but trusting the squad. And I think every single person has felt a part of that. So when they've been called upon, they've played the part massively.
Yeah, and how crucial is that? I mean, all credit to the coaching staff on this and the strength and conditioning coaches and the players themselves as well. But, you know, when you speak to managers who are in the lower half of the table, they bemoan injuries, they bemoan, you know, having to go into the loan market. But that's been key, hasn't it? That consistency of selection that you've had at Redcliffe this season.
That's the word, is the consistency. So the work that's been done off the pitch by, as you quite rightly said, the staff, in terms of soft tissue injuries, we're in single figures for that. All right, we've had other injuries, you know, ACLs and things like that happen in football. We've had a lot of injuries ourselves. And the big thing is that we look back on and go, we've not had players with hamstring injuries, calf injuries, groin injuries, quad injuries. And that is down to the staff and the work that they've done. So that consistency level, that trust in the squad, that being able to call upon someone that could probably play two or three positions. There's probably only Jordan Hume and obviously the keeper, Mateus. There's probably only them two that haven't played out of what we would class as their main positions. Every other player within the group has been asked to play elsewhere. I mean, you look at Jamie Morgan, a 5'9" wing-back. He's been playing left centre-half for six games this season. That's what we've done. We've trusted what we've had in the building, not wanting to upset the apple cart. And when called upon, they've all sort of answered perfectly.
And just to take a step back as well, Jono, at this point, and just to say it's another promotion for yourself and Bernard. And, you know, with all due respect to Spennymoor and Chester, it feels like, you know, when it's a local club like Ramy or like Salford or here with Redcliffe, it just works. And you must be very proud to have achieved a promotion once again out of the Northern Premier League.
Unbelievably proud, especially from this league again. You know, I was talking to Paul Hilton, the chairman, the other day about what me and Bernard have done. We've now won a playoffs and a title in both the leagues that we've been in the NPL. You know, whether that be the Division 1 North, we won the playoffs with Ramy, we won the league with Salford, and the same with Salford, and then with Radcliffe. So we've completed it, really, in the sense of how we've won the promotions. You know, it's a tough set of divisions to try and navigate through, but it's run by fantastic people. And so we've played that part over the last few years has been amazing. But as you quite rightly say, I think the one thing that me and Burn realised sort of through our sabbatical, that 10 months off, is that we're builders. You know, we're not firefighters. We're not going to football clubs and try and stave off relegation or put a 10-game winning run together and then disappear. We like to put our roots down and build. And in the case of Salford, Ramy and Redcliffe, we've taken all three clubs into the highest positions they've ever been to as football clubs in their history. And that's based on time, that's based on the owners and the board backing us with what our plans always have been. So incredibly proud. I'm getting older now, Ben, and I think a little bit more mature, I think, and I can actually enjoy what it's about for other people as well as just myself. You know, back in the day, it was all about being relentless and winning leagues and moving on to the next thing. But this moment in time, I'm sort of looking around and seeing, you know, listen, a good pal of yours who's always on the show, Teagot, I watched him last week with, he might not admit it, but he had tears in his eyes at Whitby last week.
Oh, I've seen him cry.
I think he does that when he's got hangover, to be honest with you, pal.
I've seen him cry at Lassie. It's fine. It's all good.
But little details like that, seeing them type of guys, you know, people like Teagot and the rest of the gang, the emotion pouring out after the game. And through the season, to be fair, you know, I've been at the fans forum, that's been building. and you can see them all starting to believe into what the football club's trying to achieve. And I think that's played a massive part in my enjoyment over the last few months. It's not just been a case of winning the league for the squad and for us, but for the bigger picture.
And obviously, you've not even received the league trophy yet. That happens on Saturday, and we'll get to that moment in a second or two. But can I ask you this question in mid-April? I'm going to. I mean, when do you start planning for next season? And because it's a division you know very well, the National League North. You know, we've seen teams do very well out of this promotion into Step 2. So what's your thoughts on what's possible next year at the club?
Well, we've tied up 90% of the squad for next season. You know, we've got that. Listen, the hardest thing in football is momentum to create. You can't buy it, you can't transfer it, you can't loan it. It takes time to build momentum. And I've seen it too many times over the years where sides will win promotion and build that momentum and then lose it just by making signings for the sake of making signings or feel like they make signings and letting probably the wrong people leave. We've managed well over 200 games in that league, and we know how tough it can be. But also, that league gives you is the 7 positions to play for to try and get into the playoffs. So from our point of view, you know, the planning started weeks and weeks ago, to be fair. We've been in a very fortunate and lucky position that we could plan for both eventualities. And we're going to enjoy it. What we'll do is we'll really embrace that league. The majority of the lads have been at that level and played above in a lot of cases. So from our point of view, it's just a case of sort of resting, enjoying, and then probably sort of mid-late June, which I'm sure it's getting closer and closer each year, we get back in for pre-season and set our stall out early.
And I mentioned Baisford. That's when it all happens. You get the trophy this weekend. And just to mention as well, I mean, you mentioned Paul and what's happened there at the club in recent years. I go back to 2016 and the fire at Stainton Park. It's remarkable, the transformation that's happened this weekend. It's going to be all coming together with that trophy being handed over to yourselves.
Yeah, I've said it a few times, mate, about the amount of people that are involved. But when you look at Marcus McCabe, the owner, when you look at Paul Hilton, Billy Quambi, Bernard Manning, that's underpinned it over the last few years, for the last 30-odd years. These people deserve the success. The hard yards, the dirt under their nails, the blood, the sweat, the tears, the rebuilding of stands, etc., etc. The pain that they've all gone through. I live a mile away from the ground, Ben, so I see it. I might not have managed there or been able to get to the games that I wanted to get to. Burnley's around the corner. So we've seen exactly what they've had to go through to put the football club to where it is, which is on the non-league map. The rise has been nothing short of incredible when you think what they've been through. But tomorrow's I'm really excited about tomorrow. It's not often I say that about football because of the pressure attached to it. However, and this isn't a platitude or to make anyone feel great and fluffy and warm, we owe the league respect tomorrow. Baisford are in a huge relegation battle, as are Stafford and Bradford Park Avenue. You know, a lot of these football clubs are going to be fighting for their lives. So we'll pay the league the respect. You know, we want to finish really strong, knowing that Baisford are going to be up for a proper scrap tomorrow. They ran Matt close last week, and they ran us very close a few months back when they were 1-0 up to the 80th minute against us. So we know how tough it's going to be. But the bigger picture of the actual event, enjoying it, the families being on the pitch, It's going to be an emotional day, you know. No pressure on it, but apart from wanting to win for the respect side of things, but we're going to really enjoy the day.
Good stuff. Well, Anthony Johnson, joint manager of Radcliffe, a big congratulations to yourself and Bernard and everyone at the club. A big thank you for joining us this season and spending time to come on and explain where Radcliffe are with the FA Trophy and the league. And, well, where you are is promoted to the National League North. Big congratulations and all the best next season, and have a lovely summer.
Thank you, mate. You too.
And a big congratulations to Radcliffe, champions of the Northern Premier League Premier Division for the 2023-24 season. They make their way up to the National League North, and a big congratulations to everyone at the club. And that includes our next guest, of course, who's got a long association with Radcliffe. It's a big welcome back to the show to your friend of mine. It's James Hayes. Hello, James. Welcome back. How are you?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing?
All right. Good weekend?
Yeah, a bit of a quieter one.
Yeah, quiet one. Well, congratulations. And as we discussed there, the league trophy being awarded this weekend after the Radcliffe-Baisford United game, which is an important game in itself, of course. And later in the show, we will, of course, be having a big fixture preview with Mark Carruthers, football writer from the northeast of England, where we'll be covering off not just that fixture, but all the crucial fixtures this weekend. There's not actually that many games this weekend which involve teams who haven't got much to play for, actually. There's still plenty to play for across the Northern Premier League, and that fixture preview coming your way later in the show. But James, you're here to discuss last weekend's results. We've already covered off one such result, Whitby Town 1, Radcliffe 2. A result which sees Radcliffe promoted to the National League North. But who's going to join Radcliffe in the tier above for next season? Is it going to be Macclesfield? They've had a six-point week this past week, a 3-1 win against Basford United on Saturday, followed by a 1-0 win away at Atherton Coles. Lots to discuss here with those two results. First thing we have to say, commiserations to Atherton Coles as a result of that defeat on Tuesday that sees Atherton relegated. Then they'll be playing Step 4 football next season. So sending our best wishes to everyone at the club. But Macclesfield there, an important result. They'd already sealed their playoff spot though with that win over Basford United on Saturday. For Basford, they were 1-0 up in that game. And if that scoreline had stayed, Basford essentially, with goal difference, were relegating three sides, Stafford, Bradford Park Avenue and Atherton Coles. As a result of this past week, Bradford Park Avenue and Stafford Rangers lived to fight another day. But Macclesfield there with two really important games, not just for themselves, but for other clubs as well.
Yeah, indeed. So obviously, being 1-0 up with 10 to play, came back into it. And then obviously, Atherton Coles is a tough place to go to at this time of the season. Their big game now is to finish second and get the home advantage in the playoffs. They've survived a little bit of a scare with 10 minutes to go at Basford United.
Yes, for Macclesfield, they've got three games left, of course. Like I said, we will have a fixture preview shortly, but they've got Workington this weekend. They finished the campaign off away at Whitby, and they've obviously got a trip to Bamber Bridge as well on Tuesday. So Macclesfield, still plenty to do, being pushed all the way by Rylands, 2 points behind Macclesfield for that home advantage now. Warrington Rylands confirming their place in the playoffs on Saturday without actually winning. A 2-1 defeat for them at home to Lancaster City. More on Lancaster shortly. But Rylands now inside the playoffs, but dropping down to third after those results for Macclesfield this past week. But that's the battle for finishing second. Whatever happens now, I think Macclesfield can seal a home semi-final this weekend with a win over Workington. Rylands still battling away, though, with Marine. Marine on Saturday sealing their place in the playoffs, more or less, with goal difference, with a 3-0 win against Workington. So we're almost done with regards to the playoffs as we head towards the final Saturday next week, James. But we're not quite done yet, are we, with regards to who's going where for that semi-final?
Yeah, I mean, you look at, obviously, the Marine result there, we'll mention that quickly, a 3-0 win away at Workington. The Workington, in the last couple of weeks, they're getting ready to say goodbye to a lot of players, because obviously Allison announced his retirement over the week as well. It's between Macclesfield, Rylands and Marine for the two home playoff spots at this moment in time, it feels like now. Obviously, Macclesfield 2 points away from it, so a win on Saturday. That's been second this weekend, if results go a certain way. You're pretty much expecting them three sides to now make the playoffs straight away.
Marine are in the playoffs. I mean, they're on 70 points. The maximum Ashton United get is 73. So that means, you know, Ashton United can still finish fourth. But Worksop can also get to 70 points. But Marine's goal difference is just another level, even to Worksop. Worksop plus 18, Marine plus 37. So I think we can say Marine are in the playoffs now.
Realistically, Marine only need a point to seal the deal there this coming Saturday. But if you don't, it could end up with a massive shootout against Ashton United on the last day of the season.
It was a weird weekend, wasn't it? Because I mentioned the fact Rylands essentially confirmed their playoff spot by getting beat, because everyone beneath Marine got beat. In fact, the big winners at the weekend was actually Lancaster City, which I don't think anyone was expecting. Lancaster with that 2-1 win, putting themselves in a position where they can still get into the playoffs. I mean, it is a long shot with the games in hand. Hyde United suffering a defeat on Saturday by 4-1 away at Gainsborough Trinity. Gainsborough can also get into the playoffs as things stand. Ashton United couldn't capitalise on Hyde United's defeat. They were beaten at home to Ilkeston Town by 2-1. whilst Worksop were beaten 4-0 away at Morpeth. So not the weekend for those teams chasing that final playoff spot, that's for sure. Lancaster, the big winners, 2 points outside the playoffs. Lancaster don't play this weekend, and that does give the likes of Ashton United and Worksop a bit of room to knock Lancaster out of the playoff race. But good effort from Chris Wilcox's side.
Again, it just sets up an interesting last couple of games of the season, because we mentioned it before about Worksop still being in the playoff race. They've still got to play guys like, who have got an outside chance of getting it still too. It feels like this moment in time, Manchester United are holding all the cards, but it's going to come down to this Saturday with Hyde travelling to Matlock Town. Hyde know they've got to win that fixture, and obviously things go the way on the last day of the season.
And just to outline something as well with regards to Hyde, obviously, like you say, this is Hyde's last game of the season. A win for Hyde or Ashton United this weekend would knock out Lancaster and Gainsborough Trinity out of the playoff race. It's remarkable, though, that those two teams are still involved in this. But that's where we are. So it is a big weekend, but it is a big weekend for Hyde, isn't it? Because this is their last game coming up. So
that was a quick shout there to Lancaster and Gainsborough Trinity. If you're going to go down, you go down swinging, don't you? That's what Lancaster and Gainsborough have done the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately for Lancaster, and we've covered this off, their last game is next Saturday. They're not actually playing this weekend. So they will be watching on. Ashton could, in theory, get it done this weekend, and certainly away on Monday night in Derbyshire. But I think there's a few twists and turns just yet in this playoff race. Guiseley, incidentally, also still involved. They could get to 67 points despite being on 58 currently and sitting in 10th position. Guiseley, though, were beaten by the aforementioned Matlock Town on Saturday afternoon. So for Geyser, they've got FC on Saturday, Worksop at home on Tuesday, and Workington away on Saturday. I'm going to suggest, James, that to state the obvious, Geyser need to get a maximum 9 points there, given what we've just spoke about with Hyde, Ashton and Worksop.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to come down to that game against Worksop on Tuesday night, I think.
You never know with guys, that they might get the maximum 9 points. And that takes us to the bottom end of the table as well. We've already covered off what happened with Basford United. Just to outline where we are, Bradford Park Avenue back in action this week now. Basford, 3 points ahead of Stafford with a better goal difference. They've got Radcliffe this weekend, finishing things off next weekend with Bamber Bridge at home. Then Stafford Rangers, who are 3 points inside the relegation places. They've got Ashton at home on Saturday. Next Saturday, Morpeth away. Really tough game. And then Bradford Park Avenue, who are still involved, and they'll be delighted with the results this past week in those relegation places. 4 points, though, inside the playoffs. They need snookers, use a cliche, and they also need to get maximum points. They've got Gainsborough at home this weekend, finishing things off with Matlock away. But with two rounds of matches left, it's 2 for 3 places. And a big good luck to Basford, Stafford and Bradford Park Avenue this weekend. And of course, we will be previewing this weekend's matches with Mark Carruthers shortly. Just a couple more results. To be fair, I mean, I did mention this at the start of us chatting, James, that there isn't too many games this weekend which don't involve a side who really need the points. That was the case last Saturday as well. I mean, FC United beating Bamber Bridge by 3-0. Good 3 points there for FC United. And there were, of course, some matches midweek as well. Bamber Bridge losing to Ilkeston Town by 4-1. Gainsborough Trinity staying in this playoff race for now with a 4-0 win away at Matlock Town. And incidentally, Matlock Town, because of that win on Saturday, they're now safe. Not that I think it was there was too much of a question mark hovering over them, but they've confirmed their place in the league for next season. So let's put that on the record now. And Whitby Town beating Morpeth Town by 3-1. So that's all the results from this past week, James. Big congratulations to Hyde United, who beat Crewe Alexandra in the finals of the Cheshire Cup. 5-4 on penalties. Berkey was not at the game. So congratulations to Hyde. Congratulations to Ashton United. They beat Avro in the final of the Manchester Cup. That too finished all square at full time. And Ashton United won that game by 5-4 on penalties. And I'm trying my best, James, to make sure I've covered all the County Cups. I've not missed anything, have I, with regards to the County Cups?
Liverpool finals next week, City-Liverpool-Marine.
Big good luck to both Marine and City-Liverpool in that final as well. But just before We have our fixture preview for this weekend's matches in the Premier Division. Let's just check in with what's going on at step four in the Northern Premier League. And we should say we're pre-recording the show this week on Wednesday. And there's an important game on Thursday night. I will talk in a bit more detail with Mark Carruthers about the permutations in the East Division. But do bear in mind that Hebburn Town, who've got four games left to play as we approach the final week of the season, they play on Thursday night against Ashington. So we could have new league leaders in the East Division to set up a quite remarkable finale to the season in that league with Hebburn Town and Stockton Town up at the top. Dunstan, with three games remaining, still involved just about with the title race, although I'm pretty sure they will be looking more for home advantage in the playoffs. And speaking of the playoffs, well, Carlton Town also play on Thursday night, so they could have really helped themselves. But they too have got four games left to play at time of recording to squeeze in. They're currently in fifth at time of recording on 62 points. Pontefract Colls are 4 points inside the playoffs. Newton Aycliffe have dropped out in the past week. They've got one game left. A position where I'm imagining teams like Belper Town and Carlton would like. Belper, for example, have got four games left to play. Let's say they're 6 points behind Pontefract Colls currently. I think that's an easier thing to say with the games that are being played midweek. Yeah. And Belper are playing Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday in the final week. So,
and guess who they played on Saturday?
Hebburn Town. And they've got Pontefract Colls on Tuesday as well. So it kind of almost in their own hands a little bit for Belper. Yeah. I'm not sure Leigh Attenborough would think that way with all the games that they're having to play.
And just to make things a bit more confusing, the Teagot Chopper is going to be parked somewhere in Sheffield because Hepburn, Dunstan and Stockton are all round that playing their final games away around that area on the final day, just to make things more chaotic.
I think the more concerning news is you've renamed the Alan Allcopter. It's not. I don't know what where have you got the Teagot Chopper from? It's Alan Allcopter all day
Perks
long, my friend.
Job.
Anyway,
perks
of the job indeed. Relegation wise, a big good luck to Brighouse, to Ossett United, to Grantham, to Winterton. I think Bridlington can actually get caught as well. It's a horrendous relegation battle, and I think Stocksbridge Park Steels can get themselves mathematically away from the relegation places with a win in the coming games. So that's the East Division. What about the Midlands Division? Well, first things first, Harbour Town with a points deduction, and not the first team this season to suffer from that in non-league football. So Harbour Town there losing 6 points. That's made the title race almost a two-horse race, although Harbour can still, at time of recording, take the league title. But Spalding United in a good position at time of recording. Thursday night, though, the day before this podcast goes out, Anstey Nomads are taking on Corby Town, which is a huge game for Anstey Nomads, certainly, who could go top of the table with a win. For Corby, it's all about keeping their playoff hopes alive at this stage. I've got this written down here. Wait a minute. Wait, let me get me notes, James. I've got notes. We've been doing this show now. We've done over 500 episodes of this show. And let me tell you, everyone knows this who's ever appeared on this show. I only do notes when it's really important.
Corby's 7-1 win on Saturday.
Yeah, well, Corby can get to 63 points. And obviously, Quorn in fifth are on 62. So on Thursday, Corby need a win, basically, to stay within the playoffs. A defeat, and they're no longer able to get into the playoff positions. Leigh Town can still get in the playoffs at time of recording. The playoffs, though, it looks like it's a race, really, between Loughborough Dynamo and Quorn. Hinckley have got themselves a bit of a buffer with two games left to play, and we've mentioned Harbour already. Spalding have got Sporting Kalser and Coleshill Town to play. And outside of the Corby game for Anstey Nomads, on Saturday they've got Coleshill. Next Saturday they've got Sutton Coldfield. Harbour have got Sutton Coldfield away and Loughborough at home. That Loughborough game next Saturday looks huge, doesn't it? Hinckley have got Cambridge and Coventry left. Quorn have got Leigh Town and Bedworth. Leigh Town, incidentally, heading to this weekend knowing that if Quorn win, then Leigh Town can't make the playoffs. So that's a huge game. Game of the weekend. Quorn against Lytown this weekend in the Midlands division.
Let's not forget as well, both of them were at step five last season. So to get into the playoffs on the first attempt, and then obviously with Anthony Nomads as well coming at the same time, shows the strength of the teams coming up from step five at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, big good luck to everyone in the playoff race this weekend. And also big good luck to Spalding and Anstey Nomads, of course, and Harbour Town. Relegation-wise, big good luck to all these teams in the coming games. We're into the part of the season now where Gresley have got one game left. They're tied with Rugby Town and AFC Rushton and Diamonds. It's quite a remarkable tussle down the bottom end. Cambridge City and Coventry can pretty much... well, they will ensure survival with a win and with goal difference. Maybe even a point would do it for both those teams as well. So big good luck down the bottom end of the table. And to finish off our little look at step four, as this show is being recorded, City and Liverpool are playing Bootle in a massive game. Huge. I'm not going to call this playoff line. Let's just say at this stage, well, even Runcorn Linnets aren't quite there yet, are they? Right, I'm going back to my notes, James. Going back to my notes, permutations, where are we? There we go. So Runcorn Linnets are on 62 points currently with two games remaining. They're a point ahead of Prescott Cables. Linnets this weekend hosting Widnes, finishing the season off with a bit of a Cheshire Derby away at 1874. Prescott have got Stalybridge Celtic and Trafford away. Again, just to reaffirm, City Liverpool at time of recording can still catch Runcorn Linnets and Prescott. That's at time of recording, though. We might get answers before Saturday's games, but that's where we are with the top two in the playoffs at the moment. Bootle, who knows where they'll be. We know Witton Albion are on 59 points, though. Will they be in the playoffs when this show goes to air? Who knows? Widnes are 5 points behind Witton Albion, though, as are Nantwich Town, as are Avro. So... we are at the stage now with two games left for the majority of these sides, apart from Widnes, who've got three games left, where wins above them will see these teams knocked out of the playoff race. So, yeah, Widnes still involved, though, regardless of what happens between Bootle and City of Liverpool. But it's epic, isn't it, the West Division and that playoff race, yeah. James?
I'm not even going to go through the fixture list in that one. You need to look at it on the league website just to see who's got the who left.
Widnes are in. I mean, Nantwich and Avro, it's a bit of an outside shot. With they can get to 60 points at time of recording. Bootle are on 59. City Liverpool are on 56. So it's a long shot for them. But Widnes, they've got three games left, and it is intriguing for them. They can get to 63 points. And just a reminder, Linnets are on 62 and Prescott Cables are on 61. So Widnes with three games left, and they take on Runcorn Linnets away this weekend. They've got Kidsgrove Athletic on Tuesday, and then they've got Nantwich at home. Yeah, Widnes. Wow, the West Division, eh? For Hensford in the relegation places, they know they have to win this weekend, basically. If they don't win, then Trafford will be too far ahead of them. It's 4 points the gap currently. But whatever happens, Kidsgrove Athletic are now officially safe. So there we are. Big good luck to Trafford and Hensford as well. But James Hayes, good results round up that. I think we've covered all angles. We are going to be joined by Mark Carruthers, where we'll be discussing these division as well as having a fixture preview for this weekend's matches. But fingers crossed, James, because the weather's still weird. Do check social media before setting off to your game this weekend. But James, for all the permutation tweets, of which I'm expecting quite a few on Saturday, how could people keep across it all?
Yeah, and also the last ones, because obviously the final day of the season, it's all in fancy typing instead. But yeah, on social media, it's on X, formerly known as Twitter, it's Northern Premier League. And then on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Fred's official Northern Premier.
Good stuff. Well, James Hayes from the Northern Premier League, a big thank you for taking the time out of your day to join us on this week's show. You have a lovely weekend, and we'll catch up again next week.
Yeah, thank you, Ben.
Well, a big thank you to James Hayes for joining us on this week's show. But it's now time to look into the future. And it's a future which kicks off on Saturday, the 20th of April, with some vitally important games. And there's only one man I can think of to preview this weekend's matches, and that's football writer from the northeast of England. It's a welcome back to the show to Mr. Mark Carruthers. Hello, Mark. Welcome back. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm sure there's plenty of people you could think of ahead of me, to be fair. But
no, I can only think of you because I've booked you in already. That's
true.
The thing.
That is true. give with one hand and take away with the other.
No, but joking aside, I mean, later on we will have a little chat as well about the East Division, because as we were just discussing there with James, that division, along with the other Step 4 divisions, we're starting to get to the end of the season now, and it looks like it's going to end in a great big crescendo. So we'll have your thoughts on the title race and the promotion picture in the East Division shortly. But let's kick things off talking about the Premier Division. And I did say some big games this weekend. There are just two mid-table encounters, and we'll cover them off now, and we'll get all the cliches away about playing for next season and that kind of thing. But it is all about enjoying yourselves. Have a great afternoon for Bamba Bridge taking on Whitby Town this weekend at Iron Gate. And we've also got Ilkeston Town taking on Morpeth Town at the new Manor Ground. Obviously, not the seasons I think all four of those teams would have liked, but they are at the stage now where they can look towards next season now, and all four managers will have a close eye on these games.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, it is going to be absolutely cliche-ridden here, but, you know, it is all about taking momentum in the summer. I think all four sides have maybe not hit the levels, especially disappointed with Whitby, because they had, you know, at one point were looking as if they were going to really push the playoffs. I still think, and I still maintain, Nathan Haslam has done a great job there, carrying on the work that Chris Hardy did so well. Just signed a new deal as well, so it's a really intriguing summer. Morpeth, I think this was kind of always going to be a bit of a season of transitioning with a bit of a different style of Morpeth. You know, there's a lot of younger players have gone in there and done very well. So they've got a year behind them. Yes, they'll want to push on next season. And I think there'll be a fair few changes from what I can gather. So it is, as you say, these clubs are just want to end the season on a high and really take that momentum in the summer.
It's all credit to the Northern Premier League that we are only talking about two games, which don't actually matter that much this weekend. Everything else, there's at least one team in the game which require a positive result. And let's start off with the teams down towards the bottom end of the table. This is a big week ahead for these three sides. Commiserations, obviously, to Atherton Coles, Bradford Park Avenue, Stafford Rangers and Basford, all still involved in the fight for survival for this season. We'll start with Basford, who are in a good position, just above the relegation places, with a 3-point lead over Stafford, a 4-point lead over Bradford Park Avenue. The bad news is, though, for Basford, they're taking on Radcliffe at Stainton Park, and Radcliffe are receiving the trophy this weekend. The good news is, who knows what mood Radcliffe are going to be in?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to go down that route, isn't it, and say job done and all that, and they can rest on their laurels and just enjoy the game and such like, but I think we both know the management team there well enough. We both know the professionalism of the players in the squad to know that they won't do that. They'll fully appreciate the task in hand. They'll know that they've got to be professional, and because other teams are sort of relying on them as well. But first and foremost, they'll want to celebrate winning the title in style, and that means that they'll want to be at their best. They'll want to give the fans a day to remember, and that makes this, I'm not going to say an impossible fixture for Basford, because nothing's ever impossible, but it does make it extremely tough, and one where I can't see Basford going in there and getting 3 points. Of course, we can't say they may only need one, which they would. But, yeah, it's going to be a serious challenge against a buoyant Radcliffe side.
Yes, and if Basford do win this game this weekend, that would, unfortunately for Bradford Park Avenue, that would relegate Bradford Park Avenue. And with the goal difference involved, that would more or less relegate Stafford Rangers as well. That's where Basford were last weekend, and we said this with James earlier, when they were winning against Macclesfield, they were relegating three sides essentially in one foul swoop, but obviously Macclesfield came back, but Basford showing that they certainly could compete with the teams up at the top end. So Basford United taking on Radcliffe this weekend, big, big game for Basford United. Stafford Rangers, obviously 3 points behind Basford. They need a positive result, that's for sure. They're taking on Ashton United. I'll cover off the playoff permutation shortly, but with two games left for Stafford, Ashton this weekend, Morpeth away next weekend. Stafford are in a difficult position here, but they need to get these two wins if they can.
Yeah, I think that's the only way they'll even give themselves a chance. It's a really tough little couple of games. In the game, we'll cover off everything in terms of, you know, what we said about Morpeth, that they're sort of looking at next season. But there's players there that are still playing for the future, so that means they'll be motivated to get a good result against Stafford. But they've just got to do everything. It's desperation now, isn't it? They've got to do anything they can to get those points.
And a team who definitely need a win this weekend. If they don't get a win, then that's the season done, unfortunately, for Bradford Park Avenue. Bradford Park Avenue taking on Gainsborough Trinity. For Gainsborough Trinity, I mean, we will cover off the playoff line in a second. It's a distant hope of getting to the playoffs. But if they don't win this weekend, then whatever happens elsewhere, that's the playoffs done for Gainsborough Trinity. But I suppose, looking back at the season we've just had, Russ Wilcox will look back and go, well, we could have quite easily been in Bradford Park Avenue's position when I arrived. So fair play for being ninth. But this is a big game for Bradford Park Avenue, that's for sure.
Oh, huge. And you think of, obviously, their decline in recent years and relegation from the National League North, where even when they struggled, I always thought they were an awkward opposition to face for teams across the division, by the way, in the National League North. And I look at them now, It just hasn't quite happened. I mean, we've seen this quite a few times when teams come down from the National League North into the Northern Premier. It can be a difficult place, and that's kind of historic as well, isn't it? There's not many clubs come down and bounce back straight away. So there's still enough talent in that squad, and if they can keep it together and, you know, really sort of bring in players who are probably more equipped to play at step four as well, there's no reason, I don't think, that they couldn't bounce back straight up to step three next season.
Well, that's the position down at the bottom end of the table. Just to confirm the remaining games for Baseford, Radcliffe away this weekend, Bamber Bridge at home next weekend. Stafford, who really need to win the next two games, essentially a win and a draw would maybe do it as well, depending on how Baseford get on. Ashton United at home this weekend for Stafford, Morpeth away next weekend. Bradford Park Avenue, who really do need back-to-back wins now. Gainsborough at home this weekend, Matlock away next weekend. And a big good luck to all three sides this weekend and next. But we mentioned the playoffs there. There was a couple of teams in playoff contention taking on teams who were trying to stay in the division. One of those teams is Gainsborough Trinity. I mentioned the fact they need to win this weekend in their game at Bradford Park Avenue. They need more than that, though, to get into the playoffs because a win this weekend for either Hyde or Ashton United will eliminate Gainsborough Trinity from the playoff race. It would also eliminate Lancaster City. Lancaster City not playing this weekend. They finished their campaign off next Saturday away at FC United. So big weekend for Ashton. Hyde United, this is the end of their season this weekend, potentially. Finishing things off with Matlock at home, knowing that the maximum points they can get is 67. They definitely need to win this game to finish the season off.
Yeah, it's a strange situation, isn't it? They're basically, like you say, finishing the season off on Saturday and then praying that Ashton slip up in their games. But I can't see, even if Hyde were to win this weekend, I can't really see Ashton not getting the points they need to get into that that top five and get in the playoffs. And I look at the fixtures that they've got left. Obviously, Stafford away is awkward because of what we said about Stafford, and Matt Locker sort of down there as well, despite the fact that they're safe now. But then Marine at home, it's a big game. But I just can't see Ashton not getting sort of 4 points would be all they would need, really, to get in that fifth place. So it's just a strange situation for Hyde, and one where all they can do is win this weekend and sit back and pray that something of a miracle happens for them.
Yeah, ideally, though, for Ashton, well, ideally for Hyde as well, they'd like to be getting more points. But Ashton, they're not fully there with just 4 points either, because that would see them up to 68 points. At the moment, Worksop could actually get to 70. So they might need a bit more. I mean, more on Worksop shortly, because I think this is game of the weekend, and I want to cover that game off last. Guiseley still in playoff contention, even though they're in 10th. Guiseley this weekend, if they win this weekend, then it carries on. If they get beat, then they're reliant on other teams. But they, at time of recording, still involved in the playoff race. This weekend, Guiseley taking on FC United, and they're taking on FC United at Nevermore Park. I mean, Guiseley, it's an outside chance for them now. They've got FC this weekend, Worksop midweek, Workington away. It's a tough run in now for Liam Tong's side, if it looks like, for Geisler.
Yeah, it is. See what happens when I don't look at the games in hand that people have got as well. Completely dismissing.
No, because you think at this stage of the season, you think it was a straight shootout, wouldn't you, with the teams? Yeah. But the fact is, there's seven teams who at this time could still make the playoffs on top of the two who've already made it. So that's quite remarkable.
Yeah, I think you're right with Geisley. I mean, it's an awkward last three games. I mean, works up what a big game that could be midweek, depending on what happens this weekend. I think they're maybe just relying on too many slip ups above them, and for Geisley to remain literally perfect for the next three games.
Well, Geisler, this week are taking on FC United. Let's just go to the teams who have now confirmed their playoff spots. It's just a case now of where they finish in the playoffs. Macclesfield in second with a 2-point lead, three games in hand over Rylands and Marine. Macclesfield this weekend taking on Workington. Essentially, they're nearly there. Rylands could get to 78 points. If they win this week at Macclesfield, they will guarantee a home semi-final. That's whatever happens.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Macclesfield in the FA Trophy semi at Gateshead, and I would like to give a take on Macclesfield that day, but it was impossible because it was so windy that you couldn't make a judgment on how either side was. And when I say windy, it was like a couple of goalkeepers' clearances basically nigh on come back to them. It was ridiculous that day. But what I would say is that knowing the caliber of players in that Macclesfield side, I don't think anyone will want to play them in the playoffs, particularly if it is a home game, which it is looking increasingly like it is going to be. I firmly believe that they will come through the playoffs. But I think we're looking at the caliber of whichever four teams getting there. It's going to be as strong a playoff setup as we've seen for a long time at this level.
Yes, and a team who were almost in the playoffs, almost, a win would certainly seal the deal this weekend, is Marine. They're hosting Atherton Coles. We mentioned it earlier. Commiserations to everyone at Alder Street and to everyone at Atherton Coles. But Marine season carries on regardless, and they've got this 6-point cushion. They can get themselves into the playoffs. They've hit form at the right time and have got the job done. It's now a case of where they're going to finish in the playoffs. They can still catch the two teams above them, and Rylands are still in sight, 2 points ahead of them.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at that at Marine at the start of the season, and I think, and I apologise if I'm wrong here, I think I did say that I fancied them for a playoff place. I mean, I don't think that was a massive stretch, by the way, to suggest that when you look at the squad, you know, the players that you can name, Saul Solomon, Finlay Sinclair Smith, players like that, the top Northern Premier League players, and players that I think would cope quite comfortably at the next level up. So they will be a dangerous opponent in the playoffs once it is confirmed. And again, I think anything can happen in there, but I will go back and say I just think Macclesfield might have a little bit too much, no matter who the player. But it's a great achievement for Marine. It's another step forward. You know, we still forget it's not that long since they came back into the division, or it doesn't feel that long anyway. And I think, you know, it's a great achievement to get in there and something to build on next season.
Yeah, and just a final match, and I've saved this one till last because I think there's a lot riding on this one, that's for sure. Worksop Town taking on Warrington Rylands. Warrington Rylands still up in the air whether they're going to have a home semi-final or an away semi-final. They could also catch Macclesfield, but for Worksop, it is a case really of getting to 70 points. They're on 61. They've got three games remaining. It's Rylands this weekend, Geisley away, which we've already mentioned, and then Atherton Coles away to finish things off next Saturday for Worksop. Feels like it would be a disappointment for them not to get into the playoffs, but you also got to remember, it's the first season back at Step 3, and this has been a phenomenal season with the FA Cup and things like that. So it must be a bit weird for Craig Parry and the coaching staff at Worksop, I'm imagining, heading into this final week.
It is, but then I look at the caliber of players in the squad, I look at what they did last season, and I still think, having spoken to people at the club when they've played up here in the North East and the East Division, the ambition was to absolutely challenge the playoffs this year. They've done that, and I think falling short would be slightly disappointing for them to do that. You look at the form ahead of the defeat at Basford, and they were in good form. They obviously beat Macclesfield. They got narrow wins against Hyde and Bradford Park Avenue. And then there's just been that little hiccup, hasn't there? The Basford loss, losing at Morpeth last week as well, quite heavily. And you just, it's difficult to regain that momentum. But I think with the experience in the squad as well, it could be a case of the desperation of Worksop may well see them win this game.
Yeah, and that's just Saturday afternoon, by the way, dear listener. We've already mentioned, we've hinted at the games next Saturday. Midweek games, Monday night, Matlock Town taking on Ashton United, a big game for Ashton. And we've already mentioned a couple of the Tuesday games, Guiseley taking on Worksop Town, which another big game for Worksop there, potentially for Guiseley as well. And Bamber Bridge taking on Macclesfield. And if results go a certain way, they may already be celebrating having a playoff semi-final, home semi-final confirmed, as well as a potential home final as well. So a big week for Macclesfield as well. That's the Premier Division. But Mark, while I've got you here, let's talk about the fun and games in the East Division. Hey, we've been covering this from afar, obviously, and I've stayed clear of interviewing the managers involved in all of the promotion races at Step 4. Stockton Town, two games left, 74 points. Hebburn Town, who've always had these games in hand, 2 points behind them now with four games remaining. Dunstan, 6 points off top spot. They've got a game in hand on Stockton Town, three games remaining for Dunstan. So I do need to mention the fact, I said Hebburn's got loads of games to play, and that includes games after we've recorded this show and before the show goes to air. So that league table I've just read you out there, we might have changed since. In fact, it will have changed with the games in hand and that kind of thing. So please bear that in mind, dear listener. We can't do breaking news on a podcast, unfortunately. Where's this going?
As much as I love Dunstan, the manager is one of my very good friends, and I love them as a club. I think it's probably a step too far to suggest they will win the title. The thing for Dunstan is, obviously everyone knows about the pitch issues and the fact they haven't played at the UTS Stadium for a long time now. You know, they've been playing at Morpeth, they've been playing at Concert, they've been playing at Brig House on one occasion. For John McDonald to get that squad into the playoffs, and yes, you're right, they are still just about on the verges of the title race, but I do think they'll be a step too far. They'll be dangerous for someone to face in the playoffs, and I think John has done a wonderful job there. I think that the coach and staff have done a brilliant job. The players coping with sort of adverse conditions have been brilliant, the uncertainty caused by it, and I think Dunstan will be a real threat in the playoffs. As for the title race, I mean, as you say, this is, I assume, go out on Friday.
Yeah, it will.
After Hebburn play Ashington in one of the games in hand on Thursday night, I'll be at that one. So I'm looking forward to seeing two of our clubs up here going head to head. I just think, I don't mind saying, and I don't mind going out and saying this, that I thought Stockton had it done. I thought we go back, you know, maybe 6 weeks, and I was fully prepared for that. Stockton have won it. I think they've had a great season. You've got to think with them as well that the first 2 years in the division, they've gotten the playoffs. It looked as if they were going to go one step further. I think Michael Dunwell's put together a great squad. One of the things I love about Stockton, and I'm quite vocal about this, is that a lot of the players within that squad have either come through the youth system at the club. They're either Stockton local lads, or, and there's some that have been with the club since they're in the Teesside League, which is, what, step nine? Something like that, step eight, step nine. It's, you know, quite far down the system. So the fact they've got players that have been on this journey with them and are now challenging for step three, and they could still be there, let's be honest. You know, it's not done and dusted, far from it. But then I just look at Hebburn and I look at the form they're in. I look at the fact they've just had three really challenging away games that they've come through absolutely faultless. They just don't concede goals at the moment. You know, I think the last six games, they've scored 16, just conceded one. There just seems to be real momentum. They've got a striker in form in Amar Purewal. It would be a real, I think, psychological blow to land if Hebburn were to beat Ashington last night, as it would be when this goes out on Thursday night, for them to go top of the league with two games remaining in the season, or three games, ahead of Saturday. So I think at the moment, probably for the first time in a long, long time, you'd make Hebburn favourites.
And here's the remarkable thing about all of this. I mean, Stockton, they have had a little wobble recently, but they've only lost six games. It's just Hebburn have gone on this surging run right at the end of the season, but there is still a long way to go, to be fair.
I could be wrong. I think Hebburn have they only lost one game since Boxing Day. I'm sure
it's an incredible run. Yeah.
And you look at the games they've got left, obviously they're all at home as well, where they do tend to be strong. So, but it's a great battle, and I mean the playoffs as well, that's going to be an intriguing one.
I was going to finish off the playoffs by just mentioning Newton Aycliffe as well, who are in your patch, and they have dropped out, and I don't think they can at time of recording, still make the playoffs, but it would be a tall ask with just one game of the season remaining. But regardless, they've had a great year at step four, haven't they?
Look, I think the thing with Newton Aycliffe is when you look at Hebburn and you look at Stockton and you look at Dunstan, when they've come up, they've signed players that have been at this level or higher. Aycliffe have kind of gone down a slightly different route where, yes, they've got players that have got experience at this level, but they've also looked to bring players up from the Northern League and give them experience. They've lost a couple of key players as well to higher up the leagues. And I just think the job that Brian Atkinson's done there has been phenomenal. Like, genuinely, for me, I would view him as one of the managers of the season in step four, because I think not many people expect him to do what they're doing. And it's just a manager with a philosophy that he has imposed on that side from the minute he took over. He's got them playing how he wants them to play. It's a nice style of football. They work hard for each other. And I just think to even be in the playoff conversation within the final week of the season is just an unbelievable achievement from everyone there. And, you know, hopefully they'll be able to build on that next season.
Yeah, and just to finish off the playoffs in the East Division, I mean, I've already discussed this with James, but it looks like a bit of a battle towards the end of the season between Belper Town, Calter Town, Pontefract Colls, with Newton Aycliffe, who are currently sixth at time of recording, just outside the playoffs. But like I said, they've got one game left. And I mean, Calton and Belper have got to squeeze in four games before the end of the season. I think Belper have got a four-game week, essentially, haven't they? Yes. Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. That's a way to say goodbye to a football season, isn't it? For the regular season, potentially.
Good luck, that one.
So, yes. Mark, big thank you. And you mentioned the fact where you are on Thursday. Obviously, people will know that result on Thursday night for Hebburn Town. But you've got a busy final week of the regular season, haven't you? How could people keep across all your work and where you're off to, if you could keep it to a narrow list?
Yeah, I've mentioned before we start recording, I'm doing seven games in 6 days working this week. So, yeah, I'll be at Hebburn Ashington on Thursday night. Friday night in the Northern League, Wickham against West Allotment. Saturday, lunchtime into the National League with Gateshead against Bromley, and then straight from Gateshead to Hebburn for Hebburn against Belper. So a busy final weekend, or one of the final weekends anyway, because it'll continue for me, but wouldn't have it any other way.
No, absolutely not. Well, Mark Carruthers, that's your job for this season done. A big thank you for joining us over the months, helping me preview fixtures in the Northern Premier League Premier Division, and like this week in the East Division as well. A big thank you for all your work and always make yourself available to come on the show. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the last few weeks of the season and have a lovely summer, and we'll catch up again soon.
Will do, thank you.
And a big thank you to Mark Carruthers for joining me on this week's show, and a big thank you as well to James and to Jono earlier as well. But that's it for this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. Remember, for all the latest goings on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thenpl.co.uk. And just a reminder, we pre-record the show, so please do check social media channels before setting off to your game on Saturday morning. But that's it for the NPL show for this week. You all have a lovely weekend, and you'll be hearing from us again soon. You take care. Bye-bye.